Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The virtues of the Holy Quran. The Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Uthman bin Abdullah bin Aws al-Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrates from his grandfather that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, reciting the Quran from memory carries 1,000 degrees of spiritual reward, while reading the Quran from the book increases it up to 2,000 degrees. The Uthman bin Abdullah bin Aws al-Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala anhum narrates from his grandfather that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, reciting the Quran from memory carries 1,000 degrees of spiritual reward, while reading the Quran from the book increases it up to 2,000 degrees. Many virtues of being a hafiz have been mentioned before. In this hadith, however, preference is shown to reading from the Quran Sharif as compared to reciting it from memory. Because reading from the Quran is not only conducive to deeper understanding and meditation, but also includes several other devotional acts, such as looking into the Quran Sharif and touching it, etc. The difference in the apparent meanings of the various ahadith has led to a difference of opinion among the scholars of hadith as to whether reading from the Quran Sharif is better than reciting it from memory. By reason of the above hadith, and because reading from the book safeguards against making mistakes and includes the virtuous act of looking at the Quran Sharif, some ulama give preference to reading by looking into the Quran Sharif itself. By reason of other hadith, and because reciting from memory is conducive to greater devotion as is free from riya, that is show, and because this way, and because this was the way of recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, some ulama consider that reciting from memory is preferable. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has decided that the preference between the two depends upon the individuals. Some people concentrate and meditate better while reading from the Quran Sharif, while others do so reciting from memory. Therefore, reading from the Quran Sharif is preferable for some and reciting from memory for others. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala also has favored this interpretation in his book Fathul Bari. It is said that on account of excessive reading by Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, two scripts of the Quran Sharif tore. Amr bin Maymun rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned in the Sharh of Ihya that one who opens the Quran Sharif after Fajr Salah and reads 100 ayat gets a reward as large as the entire world. As Amr bin Maymun rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned in the Sharh of Ihya that one who opens the Quran Sharif after Fajr Salah and reads 100 ayat gets a reward as large as the entire world. Reading the Quran by looking into it is reported to be beneficial for eyesight. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated a lengthy hadith in which each reporter says that he had some trouble with his eyes and that his teacher bade him to recite the Quran Sharif by looking into it. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala often used to open the Quran Sharif after Isha Salah and close it only a little while before Fajr Salah. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the hearts get rusted as does iron with water. When someone asked, what could cleanse the hearts again? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, frequent remembrance of death and recitation of Quran. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the heart gets rusted as does iron with water. When someone asks what could cleanse the hearts again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, frequent remembrance of death and recitation of the Quran. Excess of sins and negligence in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause the hearts to rust as water causes iron to rust. The reading of the Quran Sharif and the remembrance of death polish the rusted hearts. The heart is like a mirror. If it is not cleaned, it will not properly reflect the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more burnished and brighter it is, the better will it show from the enlightenment. Therefore, the more we indulge in sinful lust and devilish acts, the more are we deprived of the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is with a view to polishing the mirror of the heart that mashayikh enjoin upon their disciples to devote themselves to self-discipline endeavors, spiritual occupation, incantation and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in some ahadith that when a man commits a sin, a black dot stains his heart. If he repents in real earnest, this dot is removed. But if he commits another sin, another black dot appears. In this way, if he goes on committing sin after sin, his heart gets completely blackened. At this stage, the heart becomes quite disinclined to do good and keeps on turning to evil. Allahumma ihfazna minhu. Ya Allah, save us from such a stage. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with social etiquettes. One Muslim's rights over another are: when you meet him, make salam to him. When he calls, answer him. When he invites you, accept his invitation. When he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, reply with Yarhamukallah. When he is ill, visit him. When he passes away, accompany his janazah. Like for him what you like for yourself. Number 99. When entering your house, greet the family members with Assalamu alaikum. If someone conveys salam to you, reply with the following: Alayka wa alayhi salam. After writing a letter, sprinkle some sand on it. While writing, if you have to think of some subject matter, then place your pen on your ear, you will easily remember. There is reward for showing love and affection to your small children. Do not rub your hands on the clothing of someone else. If he does not mind, there is no harm. Example, he is wearing such clothing which you have loaned to him. Most likely in this case, he will not feel upset. Do not stretch your legs towards anyone in a gathering. Whoever you meet, meet with a happy face. It is appropriate to smile, as this will please the other person. The best names is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Allah Ta'ala give us to pray, inshallah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our subject, what we heard today, one is that mashallah, we are all so that we just listen and we accept. How many of us do understand also? One point that was read, anyone got any question about it? Ji? Send, yeah.
Ji.
So this is the sprinkling of sand is blotting paper. Before they used to write with ink, and then they didn't have blotting paper. I don't know, in our time when we were small children in school, we still used to use blotting paper. Afterwards, I think ballpoints came out. By then, I didn't think the later generations know about blotting paper also. And that when you write, it's all wet and it will get all smudged. So you had a blotting paper, you place it on top and then it dries it up. So that was the work of the sand, to dry it up. And the other, that dry your hands on somebody else's clothing. Now that also we can, for us to understand, is difficult. And what is also difficult, the culture which was in India till now, to a much lesser extent, but before, very takalluf, you will be very informal with any person. Like you want to even do anything, or please wipe your hands are wet, just on his clothes you'll just wipe it. Yeah, it will be a big problem. It will be, what a big fight. We can't understand those things. There in that culture, with the ustads, with the sheikh, with the parents, with their children, they would reprimand them and rebuke them so severely, and it would be nothing on their heart. Today you can't do that. Today you just even lightly you tell somebody, a person gets offended. So in that culture, in that environment, you can understand it. But in our environment, our culture, you can't understand it at all. And what was the other point? About the pen. putting it here. Gee, that is, we are taught in the hadith to put it here. And what science will reach its time when they will realize that it increases the memory by putting it there. There's also, I remember as a small boy, the shop assistants, they always used to put their pencil. This was the place to put it here. That was a holder for the pen. And that time, of course, the clothes also, at one time, this also we understand that Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali's one poem that oh Allah, how much I love you, etc. All that is what you have taught me. What are you looking in my sleeves for more? That time sleeves were where a person would keep something. There were no pockets in the kurtas, etc., the chadars. And in the chadar sheet, no pockets or anything. So if they wanted to keep something, they used to keep it here in the sleeve. So to understand many of these things, and many of the works also of our Shaykh, all this, there are many proverbs also, proverbial sentences, proverbs. And you can't translate them literally. It doesn't give the right translation. Like, for example, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali said that he made bayan, and in the bayan he explained about something, dil bagh bagh ho gaya. So this is a proverb. That means your heart became very happy. But what a person, the translator, how he translated it, that my heart became garden. So that's not the correct way. So to know the proverbs, and then if there is a matching proverb in English, to use that proverb. Otherwise, to explain it correctly, what it means. Otherwise, you defeat the whole object. So it's very important that a person must have a good grasp of the language from which he's translating, and the language into which he's translating also. Then you can get a proper understanding. Otherwise, from where to where also you go. May Allah Ta'ala let us understand properly our deen, and understand, and the same thing, for example, to understand our deen, the culture at the time of the Arabs, when the Quran was revealed. If you don't understand something in that context, then you try and understand it in the context of today, you'll go way out. There, for example, slavery, Islam didn't encourage, Islam didn't even condone, it has allowed. But you'll see so many laws of Islam that if you free so many slaves, so lots of. And for this you did wrong, so many free so many slaves. So Islam took it out. And now that Islam be blamed for slavery, because you don't understand the setting of that time. At that time, to have more than one wife was a common thing. To understand that, then you'll understand the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until when I was in school, we were in standard 2. So I was at that time 9. And one girl left school, a class girl, Muslim girl, because she was fixed to get married. Now today we can't understand that. And this is not long ago. This is in my lifetime. So for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to get married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she was still a child, you have to understand it in that setting, not in today's setting. If you try and understand it in today's setting, you'll reach complete wrong results and conclusion. So you have to understand it in that, the whole of deen, in that environment. And then to understand it, to see today's circumstances, and to fit deen. Deen fits in everywhere. But that also is the work of a mujaddid, of a mujtahid, who can understand it and fit it in. So all these things, you have to understand it in the right light. Otherwise, you'll make very big mistakes. So anyway, these things we are, inshallah, Maulana Musa and them, Maulana Muhammad Desai will work on it. And all this adab, etc., according to our environment of now. May inshallah, it be ready for next year, Ramzan. Maulana Musa? Yeah. They won't start picking off next year Ramzan. They'll start now, inshallah. So it's ready for next year Ramzan, inshallah. Usually we make these few bayans on Quran Sharif this year. For whatever reason they got left out, so we'll speak a little bit on the Quran Sharif. Because we have got just few days till the last Ashara, when that is a different cause again that we have. So in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. This is the month in which we have revealed the Qur'an Sharif. So this is that both things are so great and honorable. It is like somebody is coming to come to visit you in a Rolls Royce. And the person who has come also is a person who is very honorable, very dear to you, very great in your eyes. So na'ma al-raqib wa na'ma al-markab. The rider in the conveyance is also so honorable, and the conveyance itself is also so honorable. So this is what Allah has given us. The month of Ramadan also, and in the month, the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif was revealed, it increased the value of the month of Ramadan. Ramadan got its value that all the heavenly scriptures were revealed in this month. Fihi shifa'un linnas. In it there is shifa also for mankind. وَهُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ in this ayat هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ it's a kitab of hidayat for mankind. وَبَيِّنَاتٍ and it is full of bayans, and what bayans of the Quran Sharif. وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ it gives you a clear cut way where how you have to live your life. Anyway, today what we want to discuss are seven rights of the Quran Sharif. Quran has got many more rights, but the seven rights which we owe to the Quran, that we have to fulfill, these seven rights of the Quran Sharif. The first and foremost right is Iman bil Quran, that our Iman must be on the Quran Sharif. What does this entail? That we believe that this kitab which is with our hands as it is today, from Al-Ham Sharif to Al-Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Nas, this is the kitab that was revealed by Allah through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, piecemeal, bit by bit, to Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And as the Quran Sharif we have got in book form, the Quran which is kept protected in the hearts of the Huffaz, that Quran, that is what Allah Ta'ala has revealed. And that is the complete Quran. There are no suparas missing in it, like the Shias have one wrong belief that certain suparas are hidden away and they'll come out some other time or something. You want to eat now and your mother got the food in the fridge, she's not taking it out. Now you need it. The Ummah needs it for how many years? 1400 years. But those 10 suparas are still hidden away. And then when these people here of 1400 years, when they going to make amal? So the Quran Sharif is a complete kitab. And this is what we have got. Also to understand Quran. What is the Quran? Usually we say, give me a Quran. Or you can buy a Quran Sharif. Or just pass me a Quran Sharif. Put my Quran Sharif away. This is not actually the Quran Sharif. This is the writing of the Quran. Like a translation of the Quran Sharif is not a Quran Sharif. It's a translation of the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif are the words, which is abstract, which we talk. And the meaning, not the meaning I attach to it. And not the meaning anyone else attaches to it, but the meaning which Allah had intended. The word and meaning which Allah had revealed, and which came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. Like at the beginning, Quran was not in a tablet, in a book form. It was afterwards, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Jami'ul Quran. He had put the Quran. So it doesn't mean that till then the Quran was not with the Ummah. The Quran was there. And that is the Quran, the words of the Quran, and the meaning of the Quran, the correct meaning. Today many people put wrong, the Quran Sharif itself says, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people are misguided by the Quran. And in fact that is mentioned first. And many people are guided by the Quran Sharif also. So putting our own, it comes clearly in the hadith that a person who gives his own opinion in the Quran Sharif, he has made his place in the fire of Jahannam. Even if he gave his own opinion which was correct, which shows a person hasn't got the right to make his own opinion, he must follow naqal. What has come from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, what the ulama have revealed, that is Quran Sharif. Today some modern interpretation, and more than enough we get these modernist, orientalist, who give different types of interpretations of the Quran Sharif. That is not Quran Sharif. That is Quran Sharif, that words which Allah has, and there are many words, and sometimes a hafiz, in fact my one ustad, Maulana Ghulamullah Khan, his son was making Taraweeh, it was Yasin Sharif. He was not a hafiz. And I can't remember the ayat now, it's not coming to my mind, but the son read it correctly. But he, according to Arabic knowledge, and Arabic grammar, he gave Luqma. So even if some word will fit in perfectly there. And Quran Sharif, so much so in the writing, there are many ways of writing Arabic. But how it has been, the Rasmul Khat of the Quran, that also has to be maintained. We can't use our own, though you're writing it Arabic, everything. Like for example, Yasin. The Ya, and with a Khara Zabar on top. And Ya is Ye with a Alif. So the name of somebody, Yasin, is Ye with a Alif, Seen, Ye Noon, Yasin. But Quran Sharif Yasin, that is how it's written in the Quran Sharif. You can't write that Yasin like this other Yasin. So that is all what is Quran Sharif. So our iman, that which Allah had revealed with Jibreel alayhi salam on the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is the Quran, and it is the last and final book of Allah. That is a very important aqidah also, that there can be no other Nabi after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There can be no kitab after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether somebody made a green book, his green copy of the Quran Sharif, or somebody else, whatever they had made, or the Americans made a new Quran which they distributed in Kuwait, that is not Quran. That is a new Quran. The Quran is that kitab which Allah had revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then our aqidah, alhamdulillah, generally the Muslims, the world over, that kitab, that is the book of Allah Ta'ala. And this is a representation of that book, our kitab which we have. Ma bayna duffatayn. Which is this is a representation of that. And this everything, as our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains, Allah Ta'ala is the object in the field of tasawwuf. Not your Shaykh is the object, not the Khanqah is the object, not the programs are the object, Allah. But all these which are the means to take you there, they also become valuable in the way. Just like you want to reach a certain place, you don't know. You take a guide. Or, for example, these people who climb Mount Everest, and many other things. The names come of these foreigners and these people. But that what you call them? Sherpas. Sherpas. Yeah, these people, they are actually the ones who take them. Vasco da Gama, all his travels, Arabs took him everywhere. But their names don't come anywhere. Everywhere, all this, none of these things. Until today, there is a very good, interesting information which you try and gather this. What is research and this new things which America they do, it's behind them are all foreigners. And the system is like in that university or in that hospital, the head is an American. Under him are working, they are Pakistanis, they are Bangladeshis. Pakistanis excel in medicine, Bangladeshis in engineering. And all these Egyptians in armament, they excel in all this. They do all the work. Everything is ready. Then he puts his signature that he is the one who had discovered this. And there are so many cases where people refuse to acknowledge this, and it never came for the benefit of mankind, because they did not want somebody else to take our name. We did all the hard work, and now somebody else. So all this here, so that all these people who are your guides, etc., how lot you have to look after them? Because without that guide, you won't reach where you reach. In this American universities, etc., these people are paid what big salaries, compared especially what they'll get in Bangladesh, what they'll get in India, what they'll get in Pakistan. So they are happy with that money. But the name is somebody else's. So yeah, also, but they look after them. They give them a good salary, a wonderful life, etc. And they also, Allahu Akbar, grace also, we shouldn't fool ourselves. Many of them who got an American passport, UK passport, etc. But there he's working in a kitchen. He's washing dishes. And there he knows what is his position. He's a down man, right down on the ground. But when he goes to India, Pakistan, he shows he's an American citizen. That I'm somebody so great. So these things are just that they fool themselves, all these people. And that one passport, what is that? What respect is in that passport? So anyway, all these become valuable because they are leading you, your sheikh, the khanqa, everything, all these programs, because they are leading to you to Allah. So they also, by the way, they also become valuable. And yeah, loyalty we are taught. Not like you took that guide while he was guiding you, you looked after him, you paid him. When your work got done, you don't know him from any side. You got nothing to do with him. But yeah, the person who takes you and everything, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali, right till his old age, used to keep a tasbih in his hand and read tasbih. Somebody said, Hazrat, you don't need this. This was to bring you. It is a mudhakkara, to remind you, to make zikr of Allah. You have reached Allah. Now you don't need your tasbih anymore. You are there already. So he said, what brought me till here, I feel it very, very, it's an act of great disloyalty that now I must discard it. This is the thing that brought me till here. So like that, all these things. So the Quran Sharif, the Kitab, this is without it today in our time. In fact, also just imagine, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is so famous, what a notorious person. How many Sahaba he had executed. What type of a ruler he was. But ulama say there is hope that he will be forgiven also. Because he is the one who ordered that the Arab, Zabar Zirs, must be put on the Quran. Because when Islam spread and spread so fast to the non-Arabs, they were reading it very wrongly. And any person who knows little Arabic grammar knows that if you read somewhere wrongly, the whole meaning changes opposite. And he also had made this, and he gave this task to so many great, great, best ulama of his time. And if there's one mistake, you face the death penalty. And to the whole Quran Sharif, and anything you write, even in English, what we will say, you will forget to cross a T and dot an I. So even that mistake, you face the death penalty. So he did this ihsan on the ummah, that today the ummah has got this Quran with the Arabs, with the Zabar Zairs, and correctly. So anyway, this is also a great service that he had done for the ummah. So all, whoever comes in the path of, in this path, they all become honorable. In that the Quran, we are not allowed to touch it without wudu. You are not allowed to put it on the ground. You are not allowed just to push it away. In fact, so much of adab is taught that if you have a stack of kitabs, then one time, at that time I also did not understand, I did not have that understanding, but when the Muslim school started, they were advertising their syllabus, etc. And they had all these kitabs, and Fazail-e Amal, Quran Sharif, and on top of it, maths textbook, science textbook. So my Ustad, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, Damat Barakatum of Mia Swam, he said, now see, where are our priorities? How can you have any other kitab on top of the Quran? Even your hadith kitab you can't put on top of the Quran. Bukhari Sharif you can't put on top of the Quran. Our Shaykh is so particular sometimes, good ulama, we don't keep in mind, you took off your glasses, you put it on the kitab. You are not allowed to put your glasses on the kitab. Don't put, many students, very commonly we find we have to remind them, they are sitting and with their arms on the kitab. So on any kitab, this is not allowed. And Quran Sharif, the utmost respect. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali should explain about this. This actually comes in the next point, but since I've started, I'll just complete it. That the Quran Sharif, they don't leave it naked, cover it. You don't stay naked, you wear clothes. So the Quran Sharif also, put a cover on the Quran Sharif. And then again, when we wore clothes, it's not from that time that the clothes our mother put on, whole life we wear it. We take it off, we have it washed also. So the cover of the Quran, wash it also. Not once you put on the cover and whole life is just carrying on. That happens very common. Then the Quran Sharif again, after you have put on clothes, you have covered it, then don't leave it outside. We don't stay outside under the trees after we wear clothes also. We stay in houses. Put it in what is called a juzdan. That is, the juz is the Quran Sharif, and the dam is the place to keep it in its house, put it in its house. That also has to be done. That's also very important. These are the respects of the Quran Sharif. And when you wash Allah Akbar, just see how Buzurgani did. Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, when you wash the cover of the Quran, when you wash the juzdan in which you keep it, then don't let that water go with the other dirty water in the sewage. All the water runs into the sewage. So the water, that which was touching the Quran, today it's running in the sewage. That is not correct. Wash it separately. And when you wash it separately, then that water is full of barakat. Sprinkle it on the walls of your house. And if you don't like to do it, no problem, throw it in the garden. With the flowers, with the other things, but don't let it run in the sewage. So how lot of respect of Quran Sharif. And then again, the Quran Sharif, don't let it, just put it anywhere. The Quran is the king of all kitabs. And the king should sit only on the throne, not anywhere else. And the throne of the Quran is the rahal. So the actual thing is that the Quran should not be put on desk. The Quran Sharif should be put on a rahal. And don't put any other kitab on a rahal. For any other kitab, use a desk, etc. But the Quran Sharif, that are the respects and the adab of the Quran Sharif. So, and also, if we pay the respects, if you respect somebody, you get respect in return. If you disrespect somebody, that person disrespects you. He slaps you also, he kicks you also. So the Quran Sharif, the greatest kitab, if we show our proper respects, then we know. Until today it is a practice that we keep Quran Sharif in the house, and it's a kitab of barakat. And how many cases, one student of ours, Maulana is from Kimberley, once we were there, and we were going to his house, and he told me, just come this side, little on the side of the house. And he showed me a car of theirs that burnt out. The whole car burnt out. And he showed the Quran Sharif 100% intact. And so the Quran Sharif is that kamal of the Quran. And not just one case, how many cases? How many cases where earthquakes came, everything else finished, but the masjids are standing. And even the West are constrained when they have to show, they don't like to, and they avoid it, but they are constrained to show that only, they won't mention it, but you can see, only the masjid is standing there. And this is still in our time now, when we are so weak and we are so sinful and bad, but Allah shows His Qudrat till today also. So anyway, the Quran Sharif, Iman bil Quran. So one is, we have got Iman on the whole Quran. It is the Kitab of Allah, the laws of Allah, and that we accept it, we believe it, and we have to believe that it is our Kitab of Hidayat and guidance. Then together with that, what is also very important, we should also make this difference and believe in this, that as the whole Quran we believe, in each ayat also must be our belief. Today there we have, many of us are gone weak. Like for example, the ayat of stoning a person to death, not stoning to death, giving 100 lashes. The ayat of فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا, that the hands must be cut for stealing, etc. So these, our iman must be, if we not practicing, if we find it to, we find it hard to practice, accept our weakness. But our iman must be, this is 100% right, this is what is Allah's command. Don't try and change the meanings to suit us today, or worse, to suit the West, and to suit the enemies of Islam. Today, great, great, great Islamic scholars, they also, and those people can't do it. It's done from inside the house. All this, these people, and they are supposed to be great alims. They change and they take out different meanings. That in this logat you get, this is the meaning, and they change the meanings to appease and to make happy the West. That is never, Iman must be on the Quran. And if Iman is not on the Quran, then there is no Iman in us. If our Iman is not on Quran Sharif. So what the ayats are referring to, ayats of parda, what Allah has referred to, that is what we must be. If we can't maintain parda, our weakness, accept our weakness. But don't justify ourselves. And don't try and change the laws and the words of Allah Ta'ala. Those are the words of Allah Ta'ala. So Iman on that part of every ayat. Iman on the Shari'i inheritance. Today to many people it doesn't make sense. For example, a wife's share is 1/8, 12.5%, that is what her share. So they say the wife, when now the children will take everything and go away, then what is she left with? In the house, she's got 1/8 share, 12.5%. Children will throw her out of the house. She hasn't got, she won't have a house to live in. So all that also we have to understand in the proper context to build an Islamic environment where the children would respect their mother and have the utmost respect. Now if she's getting 12.5% is a gift from Allah. Actually, she should get nothing. Her children should look after her so well. But just also see how beautifully our Sheikh Ahmed Barakatum explains. Today the West makes a big noise about this, and unfortunately we also get influenced with this. That the share for woman in inheritance is half of what the men get. So they say this is inequality, gender inequality. They must also get the same. But how Hadrat beautifully explains it, that a girl when she's born, she's not responsible for her rosy, for anything, her clothing, her food. Her parents, father is responsible, he must see to it. She grows up, the father is responsible. When she gets married, she is not responsible. Sharia has given her that honorable position like a queen. As long as she's in the mother's, father's house, she's a princess. And she'll be looked after like a princess. When she gets married, she's the queen in her husband's house. She's not a slave woman like in the West, who have to go and slog and get up so early in the morning and have to be handled by so many men, etc. No, she's a queen who stays in the house like a queen. The husband must look after her. If the husband passes away, her children must look her. Now she's the queen of the princess. She's the mother of them. They must look after her. She doesn't have to go and work or anything whatsoever. If they also are not there, her uncles must look after her. These people, her brothers must look after her. If there is nobody, and this is what is an Islamic society. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that Medina Sharif's environment, which Islamic environment was produced, that for example, if there were 1,000 people, each 999 were worried of the 1,000th person. And that one person was worried of 999 people. Today, because of a Western culture and society, we just live for ourselves. Not cared of our neighbors. You don't even know who your neighbors are. We don't care who our family, we don't care. So much so that in their society, and which is in us now, your father is old, go and put him in an old age home. Your mother is old, go and put her in an old age home. Anyone else, you go and drop them just, you go and if you visit them once a year, Mother's Day, you did your whole justice to them. And so to understand Islamic law in a Western mind, frame of mind, it's impossible. Islamic law, you have to understand with an Islamic environment. So a woman, actually she is not at all responsible for any of her expenses. Always Sharia, Islam has put somebody who is responsible. So when she gets 12.5%, that is just like bansela, for nothing. She doesn't need it. Everyone must be spending on her. But she also feels, sometimes I want to spend on my nephews, on my grandchildren. So Islam gave her 12.5%, which was really, it's not really her share also. And on the other hand, see, a man, you're the father, you got 8 children, and you got your wife. You are responsible for 10 people, for yourself, your 8 children. The wife is not responsible to earn for anyone. As a man, you are responsible for your wife, for your daughters also, for your sisters. If there's no one to look after them, you are responsible to look after them. So a man has got so much responsibility. So just getting double is not enough for a man. Man should have in fact got more also. So this is how Islam has given the man more. But we have to understand also that you got double of what your sisters and what the women folk got. So this does not mean that it is all for yourself. Your frame of mind and your heart must be, you must share this with everyone. That is what Islam has taught us, that the other people have got rights in there. And the wife, the mother, she'd get 1/8 of her share. So our iman today is gone weak, and we feel that this Islamic laws of inheritance are outdated. and they don't apply today. What is outdated? We are outdated. We are gone out of, we must bring Islamic culture again. We must bring Islamic life. Then we can understand Islamic law again. So this is our iman on every ayat. The ayats of parda, the ayats of pork is haram. Today pork has come in so many different forms. So you can't justify it now for all the different things. Wine is being used in so many different. Interest is haram. Interest has been given so many different names. Whether it's given the names of a commission or whatever other, how many other names are given to interest? Interest, you have to understand it. And that is what is haram. And it will remain haram till the day of Qiyamah. And no authority can legalize it. Photography is made haram. It will remain haram. And nobody can legalize it. All the parda, the laws of parda, they are there. And like in France and these places, reunion. Our good ulama gave fatwas in favor of the government. That it's not necessary to cover the face, etc. So we can't change those laws. What Allah Ta'ala, and to understand that the face is part of parda, is so simple. There where the Quran Sharif says, woman must be covered completely. But an old lady, laysa la juna alayhin. لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَن يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَن يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ That they can put their clothes off. Now everyone will understand, doesn't mean that they walk around naked. What it means is you put your clothes off, the clothes of the face, that you covered your face. But today it's so common that the mother is gone old now. And nothing to look at, no attraction, but she wears parda. And the young daughters, they are open. Whereas Islam has given permission, the old lady, when she's reached that age, she's allowed if she don't cover her face. But whole life she doesn't make parda. How many people? And now they are happy. Oh, my wife, she's gone in parda. When parda is actually that covering of the face is not that faraz. Now she's doing a whole life and it was necessary. When there was attraction and there could be fitna, then she wasn't doing it. Now she's doing it. So anyway, so to understand to our iman on every ayat of the Quran Sharif, whether we like it or not, and there are many things the Quran has explained it clearly, who can know us better than the one who has made us? Asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum. There are so many things which you will like, but they are not good for you. We know what is good. And they're so easy to understand. Parents for their children, they demand and they fight for so many things, but we know, we don't even listen to them. Just keep quiet, come. You just sit in the car. He used to go to madrasa or something, and he's making all his excuses and everything. You just come, sit, keep quiet. You don't even have to give him an explanation. You don't have to give him a long bayan. You know what is, Allah knows what is good for us. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ There are so many things which you don't like, but they are better for you. And Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what a great man. That even for him, his knowledge was so vast. But he also said there are many things of Sharia which I did not understand. But I didn't fight against it. I didn't make ta'wil of it, try and change it. I opened one account of all the things I don't understand. And I put it in that account. The day Allah gave me that understanding, and as time goes, Allah opens on a person. Then I transfer it from that account to the account of all the things that I have understood. So there are many things, where can our knowledge reach everywhere? We don't understand. So don't try and find fault in it if you didn't understand. What are you and what is your brain? What is your understanding? How much have you got that you want to, if you don't understand Allah's law, you want to find a fault in Allah's law. The natural thing you'll understand, it's the lack of my understanding. I can't understand it, but Allah's law, yes, this you can question. Is it Allah's law? This person who told you, verify that. If it is Allah's law, then just put you just pipe down. You don't open the tongue of your mind also on this matter. Don't even think about it. It's Allah's law, it's finished. I don't understand. I admit my weakness that I don't understand. The day Allah give you that understanding. So first thing, it's such iman, convincing iman on the Quran Sharif, it's Allah's kalam. This is also what the West are making a full out effort, that the Muslims are believing too strictly that it's Allah's word. They changed the Bible. They change the Torah, everything according to their whims and fancies. They expect the same. Al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi. They did all this, they expect the Muslims also. But this kitab, the Muslims would have done it also. But Allah took the response, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun. And what inna, what great authority Allah says, we will protect it. And today the hafiz of the Quran, he might think he is a hafiz, that he is protecting the Quran. Actually Allah is protecting him. Because Allah gave you the honor of learning, the memorizing the Quran, and this also is ajeeb. The Maulana who had come, and before also we read about it, knew about it, but he refreshed our memory that Hadrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullahi, very, very great alim. And his bayans used to be very simple. Punjabi ulama are famous for their sing-song bayan, and they are great orators. Anyone, Maulana Abdul Majid Nadeem, or any of these, you have heard of them, how they bayans are, Allah has blessed them in the art of oratory, their bayans. But he, though being a Punjabi, he was very simple, but the greatest effect he had. One place, he was Khatam of Quran Sharif, he say, ye Quran Pak, Quran Pak. We say Quran Pak, pure Quran. And it only comes in the heart that is Pak. The Quran will not go in a heart that is not Pak. By Pak, Aqidah. Your Aqidahs are correct. It will only go there. And then he said that, till today, no Shia became a Hafiz of the Quran. Because their Aqidahs are dirty. Their Aqidahs are filthy. Quran won't go into a heart that is filthy and dirty. So one man stood up, Chaudhry, big man. Very rich man, very respectable, honorable. He said, Maulana, tum ghalat kehte, what you are saying is not right. We, in our Shias, they are Hafiz also. So Maulana said, see, today is Saturday, most probably it was. I'm going to, for my trips, for my safar, for bayans to another place, and Wednesday I'm coming back here again. Till Wednesday I give you time. You bring one Hafiz of a Shia, and let him present himself. I promise if you bring one Shia who is a Hafiz, I will become a Shia immediately. So he came back after on that Wednesday. Now how many people gathered? All the lot of Shias had gathered. Lot of people. And they presented one person. They gave him 1,000 rupees, which today may be 100,000 rupees. You must say you're a Shia and you're a Hafiz. Then you read and you prove it. So when he stood up, Maulana said, you can never be a Shia. If you're a Hafiz, you can never be a Shia. And if you're a Shia, you can never be a Hafiz. He said, I'm a Shia and I am a Hafiz. Maulana said, fear Allah. And fear your qabr. Fear your akhirah. See what you are talking. He said, I am. And then after that, Maulana said, okay, I read now. He asked, from where? From wherever you want to read. He couldn't. Allah took away his Quran. And then he told him, okay, just read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. He couldn't read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Then he accepted when he realized Allah took his Quran Sharif away. Then he said, they bribed me. They gave me 1,000 rupees of that time, of today's perhaps 1,000,000 rupees. They gave me and they told me I must say this. And Maulana said, your Toba, your Iman will come back. Your Quran won't come back. He didn't. And his grandson is alive till today. And he became a Hafiz, the grandson. But his Quran was taken away. So this is Quran Pak. It is Allah's Kalam. Whom Allah has given it to, no matter how much shukr that person makes, is not enough. Your life you spend in sajda and life in tilawat of Quran is not, but we show scant appreciation also. So anyway, iman on the Quran Sharif, that it is Allah's kalam, directly Allah's word it is. Not some code language, this is directly the words of Allah Ta'ala. And as Muslims, we believe in it like that. We don't believe that today the Salafis, they take out some different meanings, other people take out different meanings. No, that's what Allah had sent down, and this is what is Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. The Jamaat of the Jamaat, the Jamaat of the Sahaba, their teachings of Deen, which have been brought down, we accept that. Not today some modern version or something. You want to climb the top of the hill, you want to climb on the roof, you need a ladder. You can't just take one step and you're on the roof, you need a ladder. And in that ladder, if one of those steps breaks, you'll fall down. So our link to the Sahaba and to Nabi Kareem Sal, which starts right from your Ustad. Those who discard their Ustads and take them out of the equation, they become more bigger than their Ustads also. And they know more, and they are more they got authority than their Ustads also. Then they themselves broke that ladder. And now how can you reach the top? You won't be able to reach. You need each link in order to reach the top. So this is the meaning of the Quran, what we have been taught by our elders. Don't use our brains and put new meanings. Nuktas you can make bayan, there is a point that you understand is different. But meaning of the Quran, tafsir of the Quran, nobody can change that. What the Quran has, what the tafsir and the meaning of the Quran, that is what is final and nobody can. So that is Iman bil Quran, the first. And we must have that convince. If we can't practice, accept our weakness. And ask, make tawbah istighfar. But don't try and justify. Accept it, I'm weak, I can't. Whether only many of these subjects that I mentioned of inheritance, parda, interest, if I'm doing something wrong, my amal is wrong. But the Quran doesn't teach us, don't justify. Don't try and hide behind the Quran and act like a big pious person that, no, I'm doing everything according to Quran. This is a very dangerous thing. And if you admit you are weak, then Allah will help you also. And forgiveness, inshallah, will be there if you accept your weakness and your fault. But to justify yourself, that is a very wrong thing. So the first thing is Iman bil Quran, the first right of the Quran Sharif. The second right of the Quran, Muhabbat-e Quran and Azmat-e Quran. You must have love of the Quran, and that love must be with respect. You must have the utmost love for the Quran. There also see, today we got love more for our laptops, for our computers, for our TV screens. How much love is such a thing? You attach to it. Allahu Akbar. The Ummah, by Allah's fazal, is filled with such individuals who used to only read Quran Sharif. One person of our village, Kafleta of India, Maulana Sulaiman Patel, he used to be in Newtown. Some people might know him, very old, he passed away long ago. But he was famously known as Maulana Sulaiman Chaski. Chaski means a man who's made. Because the amount of Quran Sharif he used to read. One way. Those days there wasn't transport like what we have got today. So from Newtown to go to Denver, for example, they should go walking. And they ask him, Maulana, how far is it? He doesn't know. Ask me how many suparas it takes to reach here. Anywhere else. Till Germiston they should come walking. Those days there wasn't all this transport in there. So he should say, ask him how many miles in those days? I don't know that. Ask me how many suparas it takes to reach there. From there to Kirk Street, from there to Newtown, he was in Newtown, to all the other places, Newlands, etc. They should go walking. It would amount of. And how many others in the Ummah all the time? One, there was a person, Hafiz from Durban. He got a fatwa. He was reading so much Quran that even in the toilet he couldn't stop. They had to give him a fatwa for him that you can read. He couldn't stop. He's just reading Quran all the time. And today, unfortunately, today we just can't read Quran Sharif. At this juncture, again, I will say, each one ask that how many suparas have I completed? We today, 19th rose already. How many suparas have I completed? How many people, we got a habit of talking all the time, but no time to read Yasin, no time to read Quran Sharif. How many are Hafiz, but no time to read Quran Sharif? And Quran Sharif, the word Quran comes from to read. That means it is a kitab to be recited all the time. But how much do we read Quran Sharif? So the love of the Quran Sharif must be there. We must cherish the Quran Sharif. And this comes to mind also that we were in Cape Town and they brought this to our attention. We were not aware of all these things. That this computer games which seem so innocent and it's just games children play. But there is one game where they have a book lying on the ground. And whoever kicks that book gets more points you win in that game. However it works, I don't know. So anyway, if you superimpose on that book, you find out it's the Quran Sharif. So this is how our youngsters are being made to disrespect the Quran Sharif. And we think, well, they're just playing games. Instead of going to play in the internet cafe or into neighbors, put it in our house. But we are bringing shaitan the worst devil we are bringing in our house. Even this computer games, they are very, very, and even from a health point of view, if they go and play soccer, well, there is also debatable whether they should play that or what. But at least they are active. They are running, they are jumping, etc. This computer games is not even making them wise in their mind. It's making them dull in their mind. Then there is one that you see the villains, the bad guys. And if you kill them, you win more points. But there, if you find out, they are referring to them as the Muslims. And this they have made in the minds of the Muslims of the world, of the non-Muslims of the world. They are using such channels and ways to get to them that the Muslims are bad guys. Until you don't get rid. Maulana Fasihuddin Sahib is here. On one previous trip, we were coming out from his yard, from between the masjid and his house by car. And there was a white lady, French woman on the other side. She greeted him, he greeted her. And then he explained to me that they were so anti-Muslim that in front of, on the street, because the masjid is here for Jummah, many people come illegally. She had a yellow line also made. So nobody must park there. Very anti-Muslim. Her husband got ill. He was taken to hospital. Maulana, mashallah, Allah has blessed him in every way. So he made ikram, he took food. She refused to take it. She said, how do I know? There aren't bombs in here. So much their minds have been poisoned. The ordinary person in South America, the many people who accept Islam, they say when we meet with the Muslims, it's a complete different picture. What we, our mind is made from the media. From the newspapers, from the TV, that Muslims are bad guys. You mustn't even have anything. When we meet with you, you are cool, calm, you are peace-loving. We don't see anything. We see best people, we find you. But the media has portrayed it like this. And then afterwards, she said that till one Muslim is left in the world, there can't be peace in the world. This is what has been put in their mind, that these Muslims are the worst guys. They are the terrible chaps. They are just fighting everywhere. They only know terrorism. They only know killing. They only know bombing. That is all what they know. That is the picture they are creating. So, what were you saying? Gee, so those villains, so they, from the childhood, we buying that computers and putting computer games, we are making them to think that Muslims are bad chaps. They are the ones who are the bad fellows. Then there is one other game where there is a bad sound, it's made to be made to a very bad sound. When you analyze it, it's azan. So they must learn to hate azan also. Hey, and we in our total, unconsciousness, our slumber, that we're not thinking, and we're playing fully into their hand. We have become the full playground of shaitan. They don't have to misguide us. We have become fully in our, because we're not attached to our deen. Wallah, if we attach our deen to Quran, tilawat only, Allah will create that mind that you'll be able to understand these things. But we don't read Quran. If we just keep contact with our buzurgs, and we have aqidah of our buzurgs, these things will get our pure identity. We'll understand who we are. If we just keep contact with our history, Islamic history, just so much, we'll know who we are. But nothing of this. Today science is important, maths is important, language is important, extra tuition for maths, extra tuition for language. These things are important for us. All other things. So how can Islamic ethos, Islam, just a name, Islamic ethos. Muslim school, they got Islamic ethos. What Islamic ethos? We are completely empty. Nothing is in us. So these are the things that we must try and get within us. One hunter who went, he caught a cub, a baby lion, and he made it grow up with the sheep. And as it grew up with the sheep, it forgot its the roar of a lion also. It started bleating like a sheep and started eating grass like the sheep. He was a Muslim, ghosh khawawar. He became a Hindu, gha khawawar. He started eating grass like a Hindu, just eating all grass all the time. So one day a real lion from the jungle came and said, my brother is very sick. He's got no appetite. He's here with all ready samosas and pies, all the sheep and the goats and that. And he's not eating. He's sick. No, appetite is God. So he told him, my brother. He said, I'm not your brother. These are my brother. Oh, oh, he forgot his identity also. No appetite, no identity. He said, please, you are very sick. You need immediate ICU treatment. You come with me, please. I have to take you for ICU treatment. And not outpatient, you inpatient. And you in the ICU. And he took him down to the bottom there where the river, the dam was. He said, look inside and tell me, you look like me or you look like that stupid sheep. And he must have added a few more adjectives also. That you look like me or you look like that stupid sheep. And who you look? He said, no, I look like you. And then that lion of the jungle roared. And he told him, you try also. He was a lion. And it was in his heart that roar of a lion. He also roared. Now he got his identity. I'm not a sheep. I'm a lion. I'm Ghosh Khawawaro. I'm not Gah Khawawaro. So now he went. Now will any of the sheep be left? He'll have so many for breakfast, others for lunch, and finish for supper. He'll have to go and hunt again. Not getting his food ready. This is how a Muslim is supposed to be. We forgot our language today. Our language was our success in living a life, a rough and tough life. There were those buzurgs' houses, when the food used to come daily for the children, they should cry. They should say the guest of poverty, the guest of hunger,